Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Another major victory for free speech from the U.S. Supreme Court the last day of June. This one is about free speech in the context of unionism. We're going to be talking about it in Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, a 40-year decision, a bad one, frankly, an activist one, the Abood case, going all the way back to 1977, has been overruled in a 5-4 decision. This case now, Matt, says that employees of public sectors cannot be forced to pay fees to the unions because it violates their free speech. This is a huge victory for employees all over the country.
Well, that's right. And this has been a Ponzi scheme by, frankly, the Democrat Party, because they are the beneficiaries of the Abood case and of unions members being forced to contribute to causes and to a political party that they may very well disagree with. So the high court here finally said, no, enough is enough. And again, we've talked about the, kind of a theme here all week being that the left wants to either silence speech or compel speech. And here is an instance where they want to compel people, force people to give money, essentially, that gets funneled right into the DNC. And so this is a huge case now because it may cut off the spigot to many, many leftist causes.
But, you know, this is a great example of how one person can make a difference throughout history. The plaintiff, Mark Janis, who's an employee at the Illinois Department of Health Care and Human Services, was the one who instigated this. He argued that having to pay the fees violates the First Amendment. And here we go from there, changing history because of him.
And I know from other employees that have challenged unions, this has not been easy for him and or them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 40-year Supreme Court decision he's overruling.
Because the reason is the unions know that this is the spigot to fund them. They can force people to pay to join the union or to what they call not to be a free rider, and you still have to pay even though you say, I don't want it being used for political causes. At any rate, you're funding the union, and the unions have been leftist for the most part in terms of Democratic leftist candidates for the most part, and they've used these people's money, forced payments, because the Supreme Court in 1977 said they could.
Right.
And they've ultimately funded these massive operations and political campaign programs.
And the excuse has been what's called collective bargaining. The unions and the high court previously has said, well, these unions, people are benefiting, even if they're not a union member, they're benefiting by the work of the unions advocating even maybe even indirectly on their behalf. Therefore, they can still be compelled to pay union dues and so forth. And that and those union dues, they all go one way, Matt. You don't see union dues going to conservative causes.
No,
you see union dues going to radical leftist causes.
Justice Samuel Alito wrote the majority opinion, and he said this, quote, states and public sector unions may no longer extract agency fees from non-consenting employees, compelling individuals to mouth support for views they find objectionable, violates that cardinal constitutional command, and in most contexts, any such effort would be universally condemned. But because of the Supreme Court's activism in the 70s, beginning even earlier than that, there was a majority on the Supreme Court that wanted to protect unions. And so, therefore, they essentially set aside the parameters of the First Amendment and kind of gave you a wink and a nod to it and said, okay, you can do it. No violation, even though you're forcing people to support something, you're extracting money, and then you're using that money for different ideological viewpoints against the employee's wishes.
And that's a violation of free speech right there.
And finally, the Supreme Court agreed. Finally, the Supreme Court is looking at the constitutional text, and they've overruled this 40-year opinion. Now, amazingly, this was scheduled to happen a year ago. A different plaintiff out of California, a teacher who I know, also challenged the forced unionism as a teacher, a public sector employee. And the lower courts ruled against her upholding their decisions by citing to the 1977 U.S. Supreme Court Abood case. In December 2016, the case was argued before the U.S. Supreme Court, and everybody predicted after that it was going to be a 5-4 decision to overrule Abood. Well, what happened between December of 16 and when the case was released? Justice Antonin Scalia unexpectedly died.
Mm-hmm.
He was the fifth vote. So when the court ultimately issued its decision, it was a 4-4 split, meaning that there's no decision and the lower court opinion was upheld. Fortunately, this case, Mark Janus was right behind her, and his case came to the U.S. Supreme Court the following year, and Scalia's seat was replaced by Justice Gorsuch.
Hallelujah.
And yeah. Gorsuch is a constitutionalist and originalist. And so a year later, you had the same result. It was just a year delayed. Mm-hmm. Now, that ultimately, in addition, kind of harks back to what we have to expect in fulfilling the seat of Justice Kennedy, filling it, I should say. It's a big issue, and we're going to be right involved in the center of that, praying and working and activating. And we want you to be part of that as well, because this is a historic moment of the change of the Supreme Court.
And what we're up against was kind of hinted at by Justice Elena Kagan in her dissent on the Abood case.
Yeah.
They were the liberals on the court were livid. This was a very kind of a sacred cow here, this funneling of this Ponzi scheme to funnel monies to leftist causes. And so they're not at all happy about it. She has said that just defending, standing up for First Amendment free speech rights and not being allowed to compel people to contribute to causes that they find potentially even repugnant, she said that that is somehow weaponizing the First Amendment. That's what we're up against.
Yeah, and she also lamented the fact that this was a 40-year-old precedent and the court set it aside. Well, guess what else is a 40-some-year-old
precedent? 45-year-old
precedent
called Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, 1973. Abood goes back to 77. What goes back to 1973?
That'll be Roe versus Wade.
Roe versus Wade. So again, she sees some problems in the future because the court is willing to look at the Constitution and say, listen, we got it wrong 40-some years ago.
Right.
We got it wrong, and we need to get it right now. And that's exactly what they did in the Abood case. And it's our prayer that they'll do the same thing in the Roe versus Wade abortion case.
The tide is changing, praise God.
And what we need, on this one, we didn't need someone different than Kennedy. Kennedy went the right way with the free speech argument, which he should have, and he did. But on the abortion case, Kennedy's lens through which he viewed the Constitution was distorting the Constitution because he viewed it through the lens of abortion. And therefore, he would come out a different way. And the same thing with the LGBT agenda and same-sex marriage. He viewed it through the LGBT agenda rather than the constitutional text, and consequently came out the wrong way. But now you get a constitutionalist like Gorsuch who will just simply look at the text and call the shots as they are, and you put that person in the place of Kennedy, and you'll have a 40-plus-year-old precedent that is ultimately going to be short-lived. And that's the abortion case. And a shorter precedent, the same-sex marriage precedent, that also could be very well short-lived.
That's why it's critical that we, as a body of Christ, be praying for this new nominee.
Now, I know that there are people out there that say, well, you know, you're in favor of unions. I'm not going to be on the program here to debate whether or not unions are good or bad. I have my own viewpoint about it, but the point is, it's not whether you think unions are good or bad, or whether you benefit from a union or know somebody who does benefit from the union. That's not the issue.
Right.
We don't reach the result because we distort the Constitution to reach the result. The real issue here is, can the government, whether it's unions or anybody else, force you to support financially or force you to speak, as in the NIFLA abortion case, a message that you simply disagree with? And the answer is no. The First Amendment has a barrier there, and it always has. We just need a court to interpret it and enforce it. That's all. And that's what they did in NIFLA when they struck down the California law. That's what they have now recently done in this union case called Janus. And that's what we pray will happen in other cases. Great victories, but you know what? We could have so many more of these if we get the right person through this confirmation process. So Frey, stay informed with us as we stay very much involved in this confirmation process to fill the seat of Justice Anthony Kennedy. More and more victories of constitutionalism could be coming down the pipe. You can sign up for our email communications right there on the front page, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.